Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your admirable, exemplary, exquisite, distinguished, accomplished, superlative, transcendent, distinctive, incomparable, magnificent, paradigmatic, pulchritudinous,
Philandus.
Huh?
What are you talking about? What are you doing?
I'm introducing the radio show.
No, with that accent and those words.
I just thought it would sound good if we spruced it up a little.
If we what? It's 8:30. Ain't nobody got time for that. We got to get this show on the road.
It's the Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your hosts, Philandus Harris
and Tamika Sanders. Relentless Pursuit is a faith-based, young adult radio talk show created to bridge the gaps between racial, spiritual, and social divides. We discuss controversial issues that directly hinder the millennial generation from pursuing their God-given purpose.
We want to showcase young adults who are relentlessly pursuing God and their passions in the form of ministry, entrepreneurship, and through their gifts and talents.
Our goal is to equip our listeners with biblical principles that will nurture their dreams and catapult them into their divine destiny.
It's a relentless pursuit.
Good evening, everybody. We want to thank you all for tuning in to Relentless Pursuit. This is your host, Philandus Harris, and we have Tamika Sanders here. And we're going to be having a powerful discussion tonight. I also want to give a special thank you to the owner of MCD Network, Coach D. She's the reason that all of this is possible, and we get to speak with you all every week, and you get to hear our shenanigans and just get a powerful word from God. And tonight we're just going to be talking about the issue of mother issues. We're going to be talking about it both from the natural and the spiritual aspect. And if you heard any of our shows dealing with daddy issues, I think we did two shows covering the topic. It was so hot. And so We're hoping to have the same amount of feedback from this show, talking about mother issues, both from the spiritual and the natural aspects. We do have a special, 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 amazing guest on the line tonight. My mother, all the way from Michigan. Mom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everyone.
Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. We're just expecting a really powerful discussion. And so we're just going to go ahead and jump right on in. And as I was preparing for this show tonight, when God dropped the topic of mother issues, it kind of startled me a little bit, because after we did our daddy issue segment, we had a listener saying, y'all better not do the mother issues.
And that was actually my mama. Text me after the show. Man, y'all better not do mommy issues.
And honestly, I had no intentions on doing this subject, but I was asking God over and over. I'm like, what do you want us to talk about? What do the people need to hear? And he talked about mommy issues. And so I know I'm aware that we have all different levels of believers and even some non-believers that may be on the line. So we're not just going to make it a spiritual conversation. It's going to be biological and spiritual, and adopted if we have some people that are either adoptive parents or have been adopted children. And so we believe that both the biological and the spiritual role of a parent is very important, and you can't have one without the other successfully. And so I just wanted to start off with what it means to be a mother, just in the natural sense, what it means to be a mother. The Bible talks about the parent's job in the child's life. Proverbs 22:6, it talks about training up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. And what does that mean? What does it mean to train up a child in the way that they should go? Since it's coming from a biblical perspective, it's talking about instilling godly character and godly character and principles in the child's life, so that they can know what's right from wrong, and also on a spiritual level, that they can develop their relationship with God and be pleasing to Him. And so that's in Proverbs 22:6. And
I want to just interject. I think that it is talking about spiritual things, but I think there's so much more to train up a child in the way that they should go. That is not necessarily just developing their relationship with God, but also helping them define their identity. And just from personal experience, I know my mom is probably listening, but when I was younger, I was very tomboyish, very athletic. You know, I wanted to play football in the street with the boys and play basketball. I didn't want to play with Barbie dolls and, you know, play in the house and play house. Like, I wanted to rough it out and go outside, and I was pretty good at it. My mom would dress me up in all these little frilly fringe dresses, and I hated them. there was a woman at the church that would call me to Michael because I was so tomboyish. I would be climbing under the pews and fighting, you know, the boys in the church and that kind of thing. And my mom would always be like, well, you know, the Bible say, train up a child, she a lady, I'm a dresser to part, you know. And so she's a girl, so she didn't fall into, oh, well, she don't like dresses, she don't like girl stuff, so I'm just going to completely ignore that part of her identity to address what she likes. But I'm six. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going to be important to becoming a woman at 6 years old, but she knows it. So it's her role to instill that seed to force my identity. Now, people can't believe that I ever even touched a basketball or a football. So, you know, training up a child, I think it covers a lot more than just spiritual.
Yeah, and I actually agree with that a lot. I feel like she just told my childhood, minus the church part, because I wasn't fighting boys in the church, but as far as being tomboyish and liking to do tomboyish things, my mom can attest to that. I actually have an aunt on her side of the family. They used to call me Rough Rider all the time. And it was because every time they looked up, I was outside with grass stains in my pants or trying to climb a tree or running up and down the street with the boys. But despite that, even though my parents knew that that's what I liked to do, they still did affirm my femininity in the way that they shopped for me. They did buy girl clothes and girl toys for a while. And so what I want to ask you, Mom, is just coming from the perspective of being a mother, not just to a son but to a daughter, what does it mean to what does it mean to be a mother, and what does it mean to train up a child in your perspective?
Well, in my perspective, it's much like what Tamika said. I felt like it was my duty as a mother. It was a divine assignment for me to be an example to you, first of all, in femininity, regardless of the things you like to do, the activities you like to participate in. I've always felt that. And even though I saw you with all this rough exterior, to me, you were always such a beautiful little lady. So it was just my duty as a mother to love you, nurture you, support you, and to show you through example what you should be, what you were sent here to be, regardless of your activities, because I didn't feel like that defined who you were. So that's what I felt. It was training you up to be that beautiful, virtuous young lady, you know, in those ways. And also to, we didn't go in church all the time, but I've always, you know, tried to be an example of God's love for you, you know, explain God's love for you and, you know, give you the tools that you needed with the little children's Bibles. Bible sent you to a Christian daycare. You know, I just wanted you to have that foundation regardless to what, you know, role you chose to take. I just wanted to make sure that as your mother, I provided that foundation for you in those areas.
Yeah. And that's good.
I was going to say, I love that you pointed out being an example. I think that's huge. And that's not something that, you know, I would have addressed because I'm not a mother. But I could have overlooked that important detail of just being a primary example of what a woman should be or a lady should be. And I think that a lot of girls miss, they don't have that opportunity, you know, because either their mother had mother issues or daddy issues and they never got healed from it. And they weren't able to be the best example to their child of how a lady should be, how she should behave, how she should dress, how she should carry herself. And so, you know, the first thing is knowing that your daughter is looking up to you for guidance. She's looking at, how am I supposed to be? How do I, you know, she may not be able to mimic you 100%, and you don't want her to. You want her to develop her own identity, but she to be able to set an example, I think that's huge. And it's
very important.
Yeah, and like for all of my listeners, it's I really appreciate the fact that my mom said to be an example, because even though you guys know my testimony, you know, I come from a homosexual lifestyle, and you know, it wasn't the girly aspect of it. I had, you know, the issues with transgender. I thought I was supposed to be the wrong or the opposite sex, and so I carried myself in that way. But I have always, 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 since probably I was like 3 or 4 years old, I've always watched my mom every morning before she went to work, putting on her makeup and curling her hair and picking out colorful outfits. She's like the most colorful person that I've ever met, and that's probably where my newfound desire for colorfulness comes from. It was always there because I watched it with her, but, you know, it just had to be brought out. And so I think that's a good way to sum it up. Like, training up a child as a mother is being the example of what you want your child to be, or at least to, they don't have to be like a mini me, you know, or a replica, but to some extent, like in character, in the way that they carry themselves, in the way that they think. I think that's important. It goes back to that saying that people say, do as I do, or do as I say and not what I do, or something.
Yeah.
That's not a bad
example. That's horrible, because the kids be like, they'll look at you and they'll say, well, you don't do this and you don't do that. And I would say my mom was a good example of that as well. And one of the things I remember
certain things I didn't do, and it didn't have anything to do with my relationship with God, but there were just certain things that my mom would just be like, you know, ladies don't do that. Ladies don't do this. And I was like, you know, 8, 9, 10. So I picked up on that. You know, I never was one that was big on cussing and drinking and all this stuff. And my mom would just be like, oh, ladies don't use words like that. And those were things that she instilled in me. And even to this day, my friends always ask me, I don't ever really hear you cuss. Like, why? And they always think it's because of my relationship with God. And I was like, no, you know, I mean, that's part of it, but it didn't start there. It started when I was a young child. I never really cussed. And I even used that same perspective to some of the girls that I interact with when I'm substitute teaching. Some of the young girls, I'll hear them cussing, and I'll tell them, pretty girls don't use dirty words.
Yeah.
And they hold on to that because they've never had anyone affirm them in that way. And so, and I like that you said, Mom, that it was your divine assignment to train up philanthropy. That was beautiful.
Yes, I've always felt that way. And regardless to what Philandis went through, I always knew that she would be a strong child of God, even when she was small. You know, I just, it's like he showed it to me. So by me feeling that way, that actually challenged me to be even more of an example to her in femininity, because I saw her, the first doll I bought for Landis, her first Christmas, well, not her first Christmas, but the first Christmas where she knew what Christmas was, I bought her a doll, and she threw that doll across the room. So I knew then, but I still, regardless of all of that, I always prayed for her, and I always knew that one day she would return to that beautiful young lady that God sent her here to be. So I never, ever doubted that she would return that, because I felt like I did what I was assigned to do in that area, and I just left the rest to him, you know. So it is very important to be an example, you know, so they will know what to go back to after all they, no matter how their road goes or whatever, they will know where they should return to, even without even knowing it, if that makes sense to you. So,
yes,
always felt it was important to be a good example for her.
And, you know, something, two things you said, it brought one of my points up. You said that you, first of all, you knew that you did everything that you were supposed to do in that area, and then after you did all that you could do, you trusted God to do the rest of it. So that speaks of being an example of a woman of faith, because it could have been a situation where, you know, you felt bad because of, you know, different things that happened in your life, and you felt like you had to overcompensate. You know, I think a lot of women deal with that when it comes to being a mother. They feel like they have to overcompensate, but you didn't do that. You knew what your limits were. You knew what you were capable of, and you did that and just prayed that God would take care of the rest. I think that's powerful because I wrote down here in my notes that another important part of a mother's role in a child's life, but we're specifically going to talk about daughters, but another important role of the mother is to cover in prayer. And that's exactly what you did. I'll never the day that I don't remember what was going on, but I asked you a question regarding, I think it was before I got saved and I was still in the lifestyle, and I think we were having a conversation, and I don't know what I asked you, but your response was basically like, don't you know that I pray for you every day after I drop you off at school? I was still in high school at Oak Park. He was like, don't you know that when you get out the car, I pray for you the whole way that I drive to work every day? I'm always praying for you. And I think that was probably back in like 2007 or 8, but it just really touched me because it let me know that I wasn't in my struggle alone. And I had always felt like I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody. I felt like nobody really understood. But just hearing you say that you prayed for me every day, that gave me a hope that I didn't have before, because you were doing what a mother should do. You were covering me in prayer. And so I think that's important too.
Very important.
I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No, I just said I agree with what you said. That's very important.
Yeah. And
I think another important part here I have along with covering in prayer, mothers are also a child's first introduction to God. And the what that looks like in my life is, you know, my mom, she did enroll me in the Christian kindergarten, and I used to sing Yes, Jesus loves me. Like, I used to sing that all the time. I love that song. And so she was my introduction to God. She taught me about God at a young age. We didn't get all deep and philosophical, but at a young age, she taught me that God is what we believe in and that Jesus is the Son of God. And, you know, we're Christians. She laid those foundations in me. And according to her, Mom, you could talk to them about this because I don't really remember, but I remember you talking about when I was a little kid still, how I just used to kind of talk about God and Jesus a lot. Like, what can you talk to them about that?
Well, yeah, that's why I used to call you my little Jesus child, because at such a small age, you talked about God, you talked about love, you used to always say things like, oh, I hope we never have a big car because small cars keep the family close together. And you were like 3 and 4 years old saying things like that. You always, like I said, you always sang that song, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. And you just, you glowed with love, you know, and that was nothing but God on you. So I just never really worried about you because I always felt that, you know, God was a strong, you had a strong presence in your life and, you know, had you, you know. So no matter what you went through, I always felt comfort in that. But I knew as your mom, it was my duty to consistently pray for you because it reminds me of a song. After you've done all you can, you just stand. Once I prayed and, you know, prayed and prayed and prayed and you still had to go through your journey, but I just stood on faith knowing that one day she's going to be that lady that God sent her here to be. That was my prayer every day, when, like I said, when I drop you off from work. So I just never worried about that. I always felt it strongly that God had her. God has her. God has her. And it brought me joy knowing that. So you, and you always talked about God. So it was confirmation to me. You know, so I just didn't, I didn't worry about it. I had faith, I believed, and I just, you know, when you know that you know something, I knew that. So that just brought me joy, and I rested on that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I was going to say that is really good, and I like that Philandis touched on the point. She said that our mothers are our first introduction to God. You know, the Bible says that we were made in God's image, and there is something that God wants to communicate to the world through mothers. That's part of his identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the nurturing part of a mother is very different than the nurturing parts of a father.
Yeah.
And so the way that a mother has insight into her child's heart and mind and what's going on in their life, you know, they may not know the details, but they know when something's wrong. And just like God, you know, there's a side of him. Yes, he's God. He's almighty. He's powerful. You know, he's sovereign. But then there's a part of him that's very compassionate, very nurturing, you know, and he knows what's wrong with us. And he wants us to communicate to him what's wrong. You know, there are times my mom, you know, she's just randomly, I know Philandis experienced it too. Your mom is like, what's wrong? And you still say nothing. You be like, nothing. And they know something's wrong. What's going on? And even though you're saying nothing, they still know, and that's the same thing with God. And so the nurturing, compassionate, you know, and discernment that a mother has, those are all things that God is using the mother to communicate to the world of his identity as well. So there are people here that, you know, maybe they're saying, I didn't know my mom, or I didn't grow up with my mom. The same qualities that you would have had your mom been in your life, God has those, and they're accessible to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can acknowledge him, and he can fill that void in your heart by being the nurturing, compassionate, and also, you know, the love that you need and the covering that you need from a mother.
Yep, and I think that's a powerful aspect of the character of a mother, because like Tamika said, like my mom, we could just be texting or text messaging and she'll be like, are you okay? And sometimes it'll be that I'm not okay, but I don't necessarily know how to articulate that or voice it. So I just say, yeah, but really she was picking up on something even through text message. And mom, I hate that sometimes because it's like, how do you know? I didn't want to say anything. Oh,
I just
awkward.
Do. There's a tone there without it being anything being spoken. It's just, it's there. Even though we're miles apart, it's there. I know when something's wrong. It's like there's a tone to a text message, whether, even though it's, you know, over the internet or whatever, it's just, there's a tone there. And I just feel it. It's like, you're part of me. So I feel it. I don't feel good when, you know, I know something is not right. And that goes for you and your brother. I know when something is wrong. So I don't know. You have to go with it.
I don't know about my listeners, how your relationship is with your mom or how in tune she is to your life, but my mom, I can say she's a great example of what it means to be, I guess, emotionally present in your life to the extent that, like I said, like I'm in Texas, she's in Michigan, in Detroit area. There's no way that she would know by a logical explanation, she would know that something is wrong. But every single time my mom asks me, is something wrong or are you okay? It's most of the time it is. Something's bothering me, but I don't expound on it because I don't know how to talk about it or I don't know how to say it. But that's an important part of a mother's role is to be in tune with you, to be in tune with your life, your emotions, your mental condition, your physical condition. And I believe that's like a God-given special connection that he gives to moms to know their child. Like there's been several movies that I've watched where a child had snuck out the house and was being rebellious or something, and the mother just knew that the child was up to no good. And they might not have said anything right away, but she just knows. It's what they call the mother's intuition. And it's important, you know. It might be awkward sometimes for us children, but it's very important. And that's another good part of being an introduction to God for us. And another part that I was going to touch on is, you know, the role of a mother is also to discipline us. And that could be you getting a whooping, like physically with the belt, or it could be just correcting a character issue or a behavioral problem that you have. I remember one time, this is a smaller issue, but one time a few years ago when I was still a teenager, my mom, she randomly pointed out during a conversation, I didn't say it right away, but she just pointed it out. I have a tendency to say, I know, in a response to something. And it may not always be that I know, but it'll just be that I'm agreeing with you. I don't know why I say I know, but I do. And one day my mom, she was just like, don't say you know, because I know what you mean, but what you mean is that you agree. So say that you agree and not that you know, because it might communicate something other than what you're trying to say. And I was like, And I think I said, I know it again in response to her, but it was just me agreeing with her that I realized what she was saying and I agreed. And so as far as discipline goes, mom, you can tell on me if you want to, if it's a specific instance that comes to your mind and I got disciplined and it wasn't pretty. Just talk to us about the disciplinary role that a mother has. Like, how do you feel? What's your way of approaching it? Like, what goes on in you as a mother when it comes to being the disciplinary?
Well, I can say for both my children, I never really had to do the physical spanking, you know, to you guys, because I told you the one time I remember spanking both of you all, I think Marcus was 12 and you must have been about 5, and that's because they had a Chinese fried rice fight in my bedroom and rice was everywhere,
And it shocked me that I actually had to handle that, but I never really had to do that. My discipline to you, basically, it only took a conversation or maybe a look. So, and with Marcus, I really didn't have to spank him either. So my thing was more so talking, because I remember as a child, my mom did not spare the rod at all. So me being the child that I was like, well, I'm going to talk to my kids or whatever. But I think I spanked if I had to. But I didn't feel like I had to do that, because you all were, you know, you were good listeners as children. So all I had to do was talk or either give you a look or that tone, that mother tone, you kind of knew to reel it in and get back in line. So discipline wasn't really an issue, but, you know, as far as things like that. So I can't really, you know, speak on the physical discipline, but other things I would do is maybe take things from you when I felt like you weren't doing what you're supposed to do, you know, as far as maybe schoolwork or things like that. So those things were withholding things from you that you enjoy partaking in. That was more so my angle for you guys coming up.
Yeah, that's good. I do remember that Chinese food fight. If Marcus, if you ever listen to this, I'm sorry, because it was my fault. What happened was I came in the house. Me and Mom were out. And she brought me some Chinese food, and we had some leftovers. And I came in the house, and my brother was in the bed. And he was just chilling, minding his own business. But I had to be the irritating little sister. And I went in there saying, like, hey, we got some Chinese food, and you don't. And it made him mad. And he got up out that bed so fast. And he knocked that container out my hand, and it broke, and rice was everywhere. And we both got whooped. So I'm sorry. If we have some callers that are just tuning in, we're talking about mommy issues tonight. We talked about daddy issues on two of our previous shows, and tonight we're talking about mommy issues from a biological standpoint and also a spiritual standpoint. And I have my mom here on the line, and she's just been sharing from her experience. So far, we've just been on the role of the mother. We've talked about the disciplinary role. We talked about the impartation of wisdom, covering in prayer, and her being an introduction to God for her children. And so we've talked about that. And now we're going to just move a little bit further and go deeper into the conversation.
Okay. One of the things that I want to talk on, because some people, I think, if they are on the show listening and maybe they didn't have their mother in their life and they don't know how to identify, you know, whether or not that's creating issues for them in their life, or that they have quote-unquote mommy issues that are going unnoticed. And I want us to be able to talk about, you know, how to identify whether or not you're having mommy issues, you know, how to identify whether or not your mom being not being there or semi being there in your life, not having that nurturing aspect of what we talked about earlier of what a mom is supposed to do, and having that extra covering and compassion. You know, what are some things that we as women struggle with as a result of not having our mom? So we just want to talk of that, and maybe some people that are on the line, if you can identify with that, if you want to chime in and press one and talk about, you know, your personal issues or have a question or insight, definitely we'd love to hear your perspective. So Flanders, you want to just talk about some of those?
Well, sure. Yeah. Obviously I have my mom on the line here, so I'm not coming from a perspective of not having my mom necessarily, but I will say that, you know, with my mom being present all my life, I did experience, you know, my parents going through a divorce, and the enemy just really used that to kind of distort my ability to receive certain things, both from my mom and my dad. And it kind of left me feeling like, how do you say, like an abandonment from both parts of my parents. It wasn't that they abandoned me emotionally. They didn't abandon me mentally, physically, or spiritually. They were there all the time. But I think I was one of those kids that whenever the divorce took place, I felt partly like it was my fault. I don't know why I felt like that, but I felt partly like that. And with me going through what I went through as far as my lifestyle choices, like I said, I watched my mom every day of my life do what women do. I watched her get dressed. I watched her pick out outfits and be colorful and feminine and dainty. I would go shopping with her all the time, and I actually didn't like it for a really long time because I'm like, oh, my God, I don't like any of this stuff. But even though she was that example for me, because of what was going on in me internally, what was going on in me internally, in my mind and in my heart, I struggled to receive from it. And what I mean by that is my mom, there was never a time where she didn't express to me how beautiful I was and how she pointed out my femininity, you know, certain characteristics that I had and behaviors. But because of the difficulties that I was having with identifying as a female, it was like I heard her, but those words didn't penetrate my heart the way that they needed to. And so it was almost as if I grew up not having received that, even though it was there. And so it's really kind of weird to explain, because I was talking to my dad about this maybe a month or so ago, and I was trying to explain to him that I have felt the abandonment issues from him and my mom, but it's not because of something that they did. And he understood what I was saying. It was basically like they were there, they did what they were supposed to do, but because of what was going on in me, I wasn't able to receive it. And so, like, for me, it's almost like I grew up and I became an adult, and I still struggle with my femininity in certain aspects. And it wasn't because my mom didn't address it. She didn't. It's not that she didn't affirm it, but I didn't choose to start walking in it until after I became a young adult. And so it was like I had to go back in my mind and think about everything that my mom has ever done, has ever said. And it was like at that point when I went back in my mind, that was when I started receiving it, even though she said these things years ago. And so I think it's possible to have abandonment issues with your parents or with your mother in this case, even if she's in your life. But I can only imagine how much more intense that is when she's not in your life, because I know that if my mom said that she had the divine responsibility to be an example, if you don't have your mom in your life, what example are you following? You know, you don't have an example to follow. So you're kind of just going for what you know. You might go off of what's on TV or what you hear in music about what a woman is or what she should be like, but that may not necessarily be the example that God intended for you to follow. And so I can relate to that on some level about experiencing abandonment from not having a mother there, even though I had mine there.
And I think that's good. You know, along with that abandonment, having the identity issue, I have friends who, you know, their parents or their mom passed away, you know, when they were right in the prime of their adulthood or their young adulthood. And they kind of went through an identity crisis because they no longer had an example. They no longer had a woman that they could emulate and go to and glean off of how to do this, how to do that, you know, how to take care of a home, how to be a lady, how to raise your children. And so I think that identity plays a huge role, you know, in knowing who you are when it comes to your mom. And we're talking from a female perspective, but from the men, you know, who didn't grow with their mom, you know, maybe they're missing that nurturing. You know, they could have trouble relating and understanding how women operate, how women think, how women are naturally, you know, they're emotional and they are talkers, and they are nurturing and compassionate. When a man, you know, he comes and he brings the balance in the house to be the disciplinarian, the protector, the provider, you know, all of those type of things. And so not having both of those parents in the home kind of brings an imbalance. And when it's not your mom, from a male perspective, I think that you kind of miss that aspect. And even women I know that have mother issues, they have trouble relating to other women who are important to them. And, you know, they have trouble relating to, even if it's just a friend, if it's a woman, you know, they may be angry that their mom didn't do X, Y, and Z, so they get angry at their friend. And I've experienced that with some relationships, even business relationships, and people, they feel abandoned by you when, you know, you're a woman that is important to them and they still have unresolved mother issues. They have a trouble relating to women. And by me not having a mom issue, I had a daddy issue. My mom was so good at being a mom. She just kind of made me, it was, I guess it's not the best thing, but I really grew up kind of like, okay, what was the man supposed to do again? Because she did everything and she made sure that I didn't really miss out on anything. So I had the opposite effect. I didn't have the mom issues. I didn't have issues relating to other women. I really just didn't understand what the male role was because it was like I didn't miss anything because of that. But, you know, some of the, if there's any women on the call who are struggling in their identity or struggling with abandonment, or you notice that you have issues relating to women. Also with men, you know, I think another mommy issue is not so much their mom not being there, but their mom not knowing when to let go and let them be a man.
Yeah.
And it emasculates them. And mothers may not know that. You know, if they didn't, there's no man in the house, they may not know that at some point you got to break away and let him be a man, let him be a boy, let him develop. You can't be the nurturing mama rescuer his entire life. He'll never learn. And so, Mom, what you guys say about that?
You guys are awesome. And I agree with everything you said. And like Philanda stated, I was there, but she still felt the abandonment. And that amazes me that she says that because I, too, felt that way. My mom was there. My dad was – he was – kind of in and out of our lives for whatever reasons. So my mom was always there, but I too, coming from a family of 10, felt the abandonment from my mom, even though she was always there. And that's why it was amazing to me that Philanda said that. And I can understand because that was me as well. Coming from a family of 10, I kind of felt like I could hold my own. So there was kind of like, not that close. My mother, she seemed to be closer to maybe my younger two sisters or whatever, and she once told me, she was like, well, I don't worry about you because you can take care of yourself. So I kind of just took care of myself. I didn't feel that, you know, closeness like I saw that they had in their relationships, and that even went into my adulthood. I was kind of that child who just kind of held her own and, you know, loved everybody, but just kind of like stayed to herself. And some of that also came from, which is another show, being molested as a child. So those things came into play. But yes, I had the mommy issues as well, feeling like I kind of was taking care of myself. And that's why I wanted to have a better relationship with my daughter because of the way I felt. And I know if any of my sisters or family members are listening, they're probably surprised to hear that, but that's the way it was. I kind of felt like I just took care of myself, kind of stayed out the way, and, you know, didn't really feel like I had that bond. And I noticed I've carried that into my adult life. You know, I love all my sisters, but I kind of still stay to myself. So even though years have passed and you know differently, there are certain things that if you allow them, you will carry them into adult life, you know, the women, period, not just the mommy issues, issues with females, period. I saw it in my work life, which I recently retired, but I saw that in my work life and relationships with different women. I saw that I had closer friendships with older women, which was kind of replacing that that I felt between me and my mom. So there are a lot of things that you tend to notice as you start getting older. I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that, or, you know, so I can understand her feeling that way because I felt that way. And as far as what you said, Tamika, with the boys, I overcompensated with my son as well, you know, and didn't allow him to do, I wanted to try to do everything for him because Philander's dad was his stepdad. So since his real dad wasn't in the picture, I kind of did too much for him, you know, and then you see the results of that as you get older, and he and I kind of have some issues in our relationship. So some of the things that we do meaning well can cause issues later in life if you don't, you know, check them earlier enough. So I can relate to all of that.
And you know something, as you were just talking, I guess I just had a little revelation. You know, even with me being in that lifestyle, I don't know if you remember it, Mom, but every girl that I was involved with, they were older than me, even if it was just by a year, they were older than me. And I was talking to my best friend probably like a few weeks ago, and it was this, what I'm about to say, it was starting to come to me, but it didn't really fully hit until just now when you were talking about, you know, an example of how you relate to women and, you know, you have friendships with older women to kind of compensate for the connection with your mom that you didn't have. A lot of times, yes. Like in all of the relationships that I had with females back in that lifestyle, most of them were, it was on my part, I was attracted to the relationship because of their nurturing part. And it wasn't that you weren't nurturing. It's some deeper stuff to this, but I'm not going to get into that. I guess you and I can have that conversation later, but some deeper stuff. But I was attracted to the nurturing in females that I didn't feel like I had in myself. And even though I had it in you, I discussed with you before that I felt like growing up, I kind of had to be what wasn't there, like as far as a male role goes. Do you remember me mentioning that?
Yes, so I do.
So if that was, I was trying to be a role that wasn't there, it wasn't really room for me to be on the receiving end of the nurturing that you had to offer. And so even though you were my mom, I was still very protective of you because I felt like I had to be the defense for you that a man should have been. But since he wasn't there, I was going to be that. And that's where that protectiveness comes from. And so I didn't really give myself room or the chance to receive the nurturing from you as much as I should have because I was too busy trying to protect you from who knows what, from whatever. And so I think that's another key component with why I might have felt the abandonment issues. It wasn't nothing on your part. It was because of, like I said, what was going on internally on my part. And wow, that's amazing. But I kind of lost my train of thought.
Well, I will say this to what you just said. Even in your conversation tonight, I noticed that you still feel the need to protect me. You keep saying, well, it wasn't anything that you did or things of that nature. And I see that still exists for you. You still feel protective over me. And, I mean, it's okay. I'm human. I didn't do everything 100% right, but I didn't do everything, you know, 100% wrong either. But it's okay if you tell me if you felt like there were times where you didn't feel like I was there for you or whatever. It's okay for you to say that because all of that will bring about healing because we still have a ways to go. So if you ever felt like that, you don't have to protect me. You can be open and honest with me, and that'll bring about further healing. So, because I noticed you keep saying, well, it's nothing that you did. And I understand that, but if there's anything that you ever feel I didn't, you know, that I may have fell short in, you should say that because that's why I'm here tonight, because I want to bring about healing to the listeners. And even if something happens to us on this journey through this radio show tonight, that's a blessing. So,
wow.
Just keep it going. Keep it going because there is healing in this conversation. I prayed before this radio show started that it would bring about healing in the listeners, and we are here talking, but we're listeners as well, and I'm open to whatever God has for us, whatever God has for the listeners, Tamika, if her mom is listening, everybody, we're in line for a blessing, and I believe God is blessing. So let's just keep it going, have open communication, and I'm ready for it.
Atlanta's over here about to start crying.
Oh, my God. Well, that's okay, too. That's okay.
That's what I kind of told her before, earlier today. I was like, this is going to be a really good show. You know, I think it's going to touch the hearts of listeners, but I also think it's going to touch the hearts of you and her as well.
Yes, I agree.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, you know. And, I mean, like I always say to our listeners, our shows are never us coming from an aspect of telling you what you need to do. We're obviously, I don't know why God chooses to do it this way, but it's effective. Every topic that he gives me for the show, it's stuff that I'm currently dealing with. It's stuff that we're currently going through. So I don't want anybody that's listening to feel like, you know, we're saying that, you know, you got to come up. We all going through this together. So if there's anybody on the line and you can relate to any or all of what we're saying, know that your host, we dealing with it right now. I know we got like 9 minutes left. And so I did want to touch on one thing, and this can go for the spiritual aspect of it, and also if any of you have any questions or comments or anything at all that you want to say, just press one, and we'll be able to hear from you. We'll be happy to hear from you.
Well, just a segue into what Plants is getting ready to discuss about spiritual moms, and I had touched on earlier that, you know, if there are people who are missing out on having a natural mom, that God, yes, he can relate to us and emulate those characteristics of a mother, but he can also send people in your life that can be a mother figure, you know, a spiritual mother to you, not just to birth what's placed inside of you and help you fulfill your purpose, but also be like a mother. Be very motherly, and because that's something that God can arrange and assign, he can give her insight on your life. He can give her the instinct that a mother needs to know what's going on in their spiritual daughter's life. God can call someone into your life to not necessarily replace your mom, but to fill that area of your life that you may feel is missing. And so sometimes we can go through that and we're afraid to address our mother issues. We're afraid to express our need for a mom. And so, and then we could also sometimes, because of our own abandonment and rejection, we can reject the person that God is sending to help mother us.
Mm-hmm.
Or take out those pains that we have with our mom on the person that God is sending. We do have a caller, so we want you to be able to ask your question, make your comment.
Caller.
Hello.
Caller.
I don't know if
it's 407, last four, 1073. You're on live.
Okay. Yes, that would be me. Hello. I'm calling to tell you that, yes, I definitely relate to a lot of things that you guys have spoken. My daughter is currently going through that situation that Philandus went through. And but she's also taking testosterone shots, which really worries me. And because I raised her as a girl in Christ, I am a Christian woman. I am a Christian of faith. I stand by faith. That's just the situation that's going on right now, and I keep praying, and I know it's by sight, not by sight, but by faith, but it's really, really hard and confusing. But I know the Lord has her. Are you there?
Yes, the Lord does have her. How old is your daughter?
She's turning 21 in March, May 24th. She's turning 21.
Oh. Okay. Well, I honestly believe, as I was stating earlier about as mothers praying for our child and having faith, believing that God has this situation, now that your daughter is an adult, you know, you have to pray and you have to stand back and let God do what he's going to do so that you can have peace, because I hear the pain in your voice and I can really relate to that, but you have to believe that God has it. Even if you don't ever see it, you have to believe that God has this situation and just pray, continue to pray. Don't stop praying, because the Bible says to pray without ceasing. Continue to pray and just let God have his way in her life. Because everything that you see that she... Hello?
Yes,
hello?
Finish. Go ahead.
Yes, everything that you see your daughter going through, I know it's been a painful journey, but just trust God. Trust God. You are a Christian. You've claimed that you're a Christian, and you have faith, and you believe in the power of prayer. Just continue to pray and let God have his way in that situation so that you can let go and have peace in your life. And you know you love your daughter no matter what, so just let God have his way. Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
he promised.
I'm sorry, Mom.
What?
I keep interrupting. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No, he just promises that he'll have his will and God will have his say. So just find your peace and continue to pray and love on your daughter.
Yeah, and that's what I say, is to never, don't reject her in this time. Love her.
No.
Along with prayer, make sure that you're constantly loving her. You're not in any way, shape, form, or fashion rejecting what she's doing and who she is because of what she's doing, you know. And sometimes, you know, it may be hard to separate the two. I know that you love her, but in the middle of that, and I think Philandis can attest to this, that one of the things she shared with me is that in the time that her mom was praying for her, she never rejected her because of her lifestyle.
Yeah. I honestly, looking back on it, I have no idea how my mom did it, because I'm sure she felt how you're feeling right now. I'm sure that she felt discouraged sometimes, and she felt like maybe she's had moments where she's been praying and nothing's changing. Maybe she's felt like, when is it going to happen and why is it taking this long? But there was never a time where my mom expressed any disgust. She didn't express any this dissatisfaction with me as a person. You know, being that both of my parents are Christian, you know, she shared what the Bible says with me about what my choices were. She shared that they were wrong, and she shared, you know, just encouragement. She always referred me back to my relationship with God. I remember there was one time I had decided that I kind of wanted to stop living that way, but I was struggling. And so it was like I would go to church, but then I would go back to hanging out with my old friends and the girl that I was dating. But every time I would come and talk to her and tell her how hard it was, the first thing she would ask me is, when's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you talked to God? And if you raised her as a Christian, make sure that while you're praying and while you're loving on her and encouraging her, that you refer her back to the Lord. You know, give her the responsibility as well to talk to God, even if it's not necessarily about her changing. If she's not ready to change yet, just encourage her to converse with God, because that's what helped me.
And then also just always affirming her, even if she doesn't receive it, or if she don't accept it, or if she don't believe that she was born a woman and, you know, she's beautiful, you affirm that in your communication with her, because your words have power. And so even in communicating with her, calling her beautiful, you know, calling her darling, calling her all of the feminine nurturing names that would speak to the woman that's inside of her and bring that out in her.
She gets upset. So, she gets upset if I call her a she, and I still call her a she. And, she doesn't like it. Mm-mm. And
yeah.
That's been a big issue because I refuse to call her what she's not. And I told her that I'm proud of her, that I love her, but that I was not going to join into the lie and that I'm not going to do it because my relationship with Jesus Christ is first, everything else mm-hmm. is second, and I'm not going to be lying. I'm not going to be lying. And to me, it's a lie. I know who she is, and I told her who she is in Christ, and she knows who she is in Christ by what I've told her, but she just wants to believe otherwise, and she gets upset. And that is the biggest issue we've had lately. Now, she's gotten used to it, to me not calling her a he or presenting her as a him, but I can tell she doesn't like it, and I know it. I'm not budging, not in that sense. I'm standing firm on that. From that aspect, I'll never call her who she's not. She knows she's a child of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you not budging. I would encourage you not to budge and not to do what she would prefer in this case. And the reason why I say that is because my dad, he was very, I guess, I don't want to say stern, but he was very strong in his stance with that in my life as well. He would tell me, he would say specific things verbatim, like, I don't care what you think, but you are a girl. You were born a girl, and you're not a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you dress like a boy or if you think you are a girl. He would say that to me, and it would make me angry. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like There's a few different levels to that of why it made me angry, but I believe that I wouldn't have gotten where I am now if he hadn't been so strong in his stance on that. He was faithful to affirming my identity as a woman, despite how I responded. You know.
Yeah. Well. Now my husband does not. He gives in. And he's her dad, but he gives in to you know, she sees her upset, so he's like, okay, well, whatever. But I do not take the whatever stand. I'm firm on that. I know who she is. I know God has promises over her.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of promises. He's promised me to take care of my children, therefore this is not the way that I envision him taking care of my children, and I know it's not according to his plan or anything, so anything that he said to me. So I stand firm. I still hug her and I ask for hugs, but when I don't follow her plan, then she doesn't want hugs, she doesn't want anything, she doesn't even want to be touched, you know, by me when she gets upset. So, and I love her. I love her dearly. There's no way I'm going to not love her, no matter what she does. But I will not join in that.
And be vulnerable. Vulnerable in letting her know how it makes you feel. You know, still building a bond and a relationship with her. You know, still taking her out, doing nice things for her that mother and daughters do. And letting
mm-hmm.
her see your I think that's important. Sometimes we, as children, we miss the fact that our behavior sometimes is hurting our parents
mm-hmm.
and that we're not just a victim in a situation, but that they could potentially be hurting. But I want to give you our radio email. We do have some other callers that we want to be able to answer their questions as well. But if you have any other questions or you need any support or you just want us to join you in agreement and prayer, we want you to reach out to us via email.
Yeah, please send us
okay.
the email. The email is relentlesspursuit
mm-hmm.
at mycoachd.net.
What was the
Again,
last
that's,
part?
That's relentlesspursuit at mycoachd.net. So mycoach, and then the letter D as in dog, .net.
Got it. Okay, got that one. Coach D.
And we're also,
okay.
if you Yeah, and we're also going to repost the email within the event page on Facebook, too. So if you didn't get it, just refer back to the event page. But we do have another caller.
All right. Thank you.
Hello?
Caller, area code 323, last four, 0502. You're live.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Philandis.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. This is Angel. We're friends on Facebook.
Yeah, I remember you posting in the event. How are you doing?
Right. Pretty good. Yourself?
Pretty good.
Awesome. I just wanted to commend you and your mom, as well as the caller that you guys just had right now. I mean, I'm pretty – it amazes me what beautiful bond you and your mom have. As for me, myself, I'm going to be 50 this year. And I lived a lifestyle for, well, it was a stud lifestyle for 32 years. And
wow.
Let me just say that I didn't have any type of bond with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
She, of course, didn't like the lifestyle I chose. But however, you know, I still, you know, kept, you know, with my lifestyle and so on. The only thing I did do, you know, respecting her wishes, you know, not wanting to see that lifestyle around her, I never brought any of the girlfriends that I had, you know, to the house or anything like that. But I mean, it was kind of hard growing up because like I said, you know, I didn't have that my mom didn't accept me, period, put it to you that way. And I, from hearing your mom's testimony right now, I see that she does, you know, even then when you were in the lifestyle, that she did love you. You know, of course she wasn't agreeing with what, you know, the lifestyle you chose. But, I mean, it's just beautiful to hear you guys, you know, trying to still now try to work things out, you know, and that's beautiful because she, you know, it's like she opened that door for you, you know, if you have any more issues, you know, just let me know and we'll talk about it. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to hear that, you know, that you were encouraged by hearing that, because I mean, you know, I love my mom to life and we have always been close. But I think that it is important for people that have gone through that lifestyle, even though it's important for both parents to be there. I can say that the relationship that I've had with my mom during this
mm-hmm.
whole process of before Christ and after Christ, or during, I should say, it's been important because she's been a huge support system. And I'm really actually encouraged to hear that even though you didn't have that support system from your mom, that you still were able to make it out. And I do see your post on Facebook, and, you know, I see that you do have a love for God and,
yes,
you know, that
is.
Your heart changed. So I can't imagine how I would have gotten this far if I hadn't had that relationship with my mom. So I do.
Right.
I commend you for getting as
Thank
far
you.
As you've
I appreciate
gotten.
That.
You know, yeah. So I really appreciate you calling in and making that comment.
Yeah. And like my dad passed away in 2001 from cancer. And
mm-hmm.
like I tell you, you know, he was like my dad was very strict. You know, there was no ifs or buts about it. You know, what it was, what he said goes, you know, all that stuff. Okay, I would get spanked or what have you. And even so, you know, that been, so to speak, brought, you know, bring me out of my little funk, so to speak. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I just thank God that, you know, we were able to have some type of bond before my dad passed away. I ended up
yeah.
being his caretaker. And taking him to his chemos, you know, I saw his hair fall. I mean, I went through, you know, certain things with him, you know, behind his cancer. And, you know, I praise God for that because, you know, that gave me some type of closure with him. And then, too, with my mom. My mom passed away in 2009, and her death was suddenly. And, I mean, that really broke me, you know. And it's sad in a way because she didn't. I gave my life to the Lord on August 18, 2013, which was a month after my birthday. And well, you know, she wasn't around, you know, to see me get saved and what have you. But it's okay, you know, because I'll tell you something. hearing all you guys' testimonies about you guys being saved so young, I mean, that really makes me happy, because I see that the devil didn't steal that from you guys. Like, he stole it from me so many years. You know, like I said, I was in the lifestyle for 32 years, you know, and that's a long time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, you know, I just, I'm so happy for you. And for, like I said, every other sister girls that I see that have, you know, been pulled out of that lifestyle, believe me, I praise God for you guys. I truly do. I mean, I'm over here like so, I can't even put into words right now because I'm going to get emotional, but it's just so awesome, you know? And I just want to tell you and your mother that for you guys, you know, whatever it is, if there's any more little issues you guys have to work out, you guys go ahead and work it out. I'm sure the Lord's going to be there helping you guys, guiding you guys through everything. And I just bless each and every one of you guys. And as for the mom that just talked to you guys right now, I also too want to tell her to just keep praying for her daughter. Keep praying for her daughter. Even if her daughter doesn't want to, you know, she, because what it is she's rebelling. She's rebelling because she sees that her mom's not, you know, budging like she said, you know. She's standing her ground, and that's good, because as a Christian, you know, we're not supposed to like the sin. We're supposed to love the sinner, but not like the sin. So, I mean, come on, you know. And just for her, just to, you know, just hang in there and keep praying, and I'm going to keep her in prayer too, although I didn't get her daughter's name, but or her name either. But either way, I mean, I'm going to pray, you know, that the Lord touches her and that he touches her, you know, like fast, you know, because like I said, it's a waste of time of us, you know. Well, I could say in my case, like I said, I'm going to be 50 this year. It's a waste of time, you know, that the enemy just stole so many years from me, you know. But it's okay, because, you know, I'll tell you something, instead of getting all down and what have you, what I do is I praise God, because I know that what the enemy took, there's blessings coming my way. So, you know, I mean, that makes me happy, you know.
Amen. You know, I know that you feel like, you know, it was a lot of time that was wasted, but to hearing you talk right now, hearing the way that you speak and your passion, it's not too late, because you have a whole group of women that your story matters to, and it's going to help. You know, there's all different groups. There's young people, like kids, there's middle age, there's older people that are still struggling with that, and I just want to encourage you. Keep sharing that story. Keep talking about your experience, and God's going to definitely continue to bless you with that.
Thank you. Yeah, and I will, because, I mean, believe me, the Lord has used me already with my testimony. And like I said, I mean, wherever he tells me, you know, go to this person and speak to and so on and so on, believe me, I'm obedient and I'm there. And like you said, if you follow my posts, you know, I guess you could say just about everything about me. You know, I'm very transparent, you know, and I mean, hey, you know, it's all about, you know, setting those captives free.
Absolutely. Well, Miss Angel, we appreciate you for calling in. We've actually run out of time here. We hope every single person that was on the line, if you're still on the line, we hope you really got something from this discussion. I know I did. And we're also going to repost the rebroadcast in the event after the show is over. But yeah, just tune in next week at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, same time. We're going to have another powerful discussion, a controversial topic. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. Just go ahead and tune in. But we will talk to you guys next week, and we want to thank you so much for tuning in, and God bless you, and have a great night.
Thank you for tuning in to Relentless Pursuit on the MCD Network. Join us tomorrow for Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and on Thursdays with Processing the Pain at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We thank you for joining us, and have a great evening.
Many times I can't see what you do. if I do.